survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, and hopefully we're going to have either Dave Van Cleis or Joyce with us this evening talking about their video on In Plain Sight, which is an analysis of what really happened there on 9/11, September 11th, 2001. Because there are so much to suggest that we've never really gotten the true story. I don't know how many of you realize that it was the President Bush's brother who was actually on the employed by the company that controlled security for the Twin Towers, Marvin Bush. And you can check this out on Google. What are the chances that that would happen? Now, we have to analyze the whole coming down of Building Number 7. There's no way Building 7 could possibly have come down as a result of being struck by a plane, because it wasn't struck by a plane. And there's no incidents in all history where a fire has actually taken down a steel-reinforced building. So why did the building come down on that very evening? And those pictures, those of you who've seen the pictures, will see the whole base of the building exploding, just exactly as happens with any controlled demolition. And if you see the pictures of the roof, why the roof begins to cave in, as if the whole interior structure of the building is gone, and then the building begins to come down from the bottom. That, and of course the story of the magic passports, the one passport somehow got out of the pocket of one of the hijackers in the plane that hit the North Tower, and got out of the flaming inferno of the plane he was in, and the flaming inferno of the floor there in the World Trade Center, and supposedly drifted down and landed on the street about a block and a half away from the North Tower, and was picked up by a passerby and turned into the police. And the FBI, yes, said, we've got the passport of one of the people in the plane that hit the North Tower. And then the same thing happened. One of the passports somehow got out of a pocket of one of the hijackers that was in the plane that went down in Pennsylvania, and got out of the flaming wreckage of the plane. And that passport was not in pristine condition as the other one were, but pictures of that passport were actually posted on the FBI website for a few days. And then I figured that somebody figured that even the American people weren't gullible enough to believe in that, and as a result why they basically took it down off the FBI website. But we actually got pictures from the FBI website of that passport, somewhat singed. So if you honestly believe those stories, I mean, hardly anything else survived either one of the crashes, but those passports survived, trying to convince us that those hijackers were on the planes. And yet, of course, we know that Inside Magazine, many months later, published a series of articles about how at least six or seven of the hijackers were alive and well and living in the Middle East. And the FBI acknowledged that, but said they weren't going to change their story at all about the people who were on the planes. Obviously, they knew who were on the planes. Within 24 hours, they had a list of everybody there, their whole background. Here's an FBI that was so incompetent that they had no idea an attack was coming, even though, of course, everybody, or so many of the people in New York, knew the attack was coming. And children in the Pakistani area of town even brought their cameras to school on that morning so they could take pictures of the attack. That's covered in Dr. Cuddy's wonderful book, Cover Up, which we still have. But the great, great tragedy is that the American people believe exactly what we've been told. But the question is, have we been told the truth? Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and we're hoping against hope we're going to have Joyce with us this evening. Joyce of Riley, apparently Dave's got the food poisoning, and so Joyce is going to call back in a few minutes. Under any circumstances, why? So the story of what happened on September 11th, 2001, has not been told. They're lying to us, Dr. Stephen Jones, who's apparently a professor, deals engineering back in Utah, has actually gotten some of the remnants of some of the steel that was in the building. Of course, the government destroyed as much of it as quickly as they could. They did not want of it any analyzed, but Dr. Jones has found that there's evidence of a thermite-like compound on those steel girders going up. And yeah, if you've ever seen pictures of those girders, massive steel girders, and you see the pictures of them there, it looks like somebody just cut right across them, just nice, smooth cutting across them, exactly as it happened in Oklahoma City in the Murrah Building, which may very well have been a trial for what happened on September 11th. And you must understand, ladies and gentlemen, that our government was intent upon going to war in the Middle East. In fact, the plan for the attack on Afghanistan was on the president's desk on the very morning of September 11th. But how were we ever going to sell it to the American people? The American people didn't want to go to war. Well, of course, if you've read the book, The Grand Chessboard by Zygmunt Brzezinski, he says in that book that the Middle East is the chessboard, the grand chessboard, whoever controls the Middle East controls the center of the world, not only the oil, but if you control the Middle East, you will control the world. And whoever, and of course, he talked about how the American people would not want to go to war, but you would have to have some sort of perceived external threat, a perceived external threat to get the American people to be willing to go to war. And well, of course, what we saw on September 11th was a perceived external threat. Now, is it possible, is it conceivable, can the average individual realize or even imagine anything that evil? Well, let me suggest to you that if you read the book, which we carry by Robert Baer, who is a CIA agent, in fact, he was immortalized in George Clooney's movie, Syriana, and there George Clooney plays the part of Robert Baer, although the movie had very little to do with the book See No Evil. Why Robert Baer writes about one of the chief CIA agents, the highest ones, who confided with a friend of his off the record that when the dust cleared after 9/11, the American people would realize that what happened on September 11th was not a failure of intelligence, it was a triumph of intelligence. Get the book, check out the facts. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and we're fortunate to have with us Dave von Kleist. Dave, I hear you've not been feeling too well.
I don't know. I ate something that just didn't sit right with me. That's what I get, you know, for eating out. I'm so used to having salads and having Joyce cook good meals, you know, and I was out running around. I figured, oh, well, I'll just grab something real quick, and I'm just not used to it, so.
Oh, well, good. Well,
I'm fine now.
All right, fine. Well, I'm so glad you could be on with us, because I wanted you to tell our listeners who may not have heard you before about a video that you put out called In Plain Sight, and that plain is P-L-A-N-E, and it's talking about really the videos or the motion pictures that were taken on the day of the September 11th attack, and some inconsistencies that you found, that you noted, and really, you had actually some wonderful clips about people talking about the Pentagon on one day saying, you know, there was no records, and then, you know, a couple of years later saying, oh, yeah, we got pictures of all sorts of records. And so I'm just going to let you go ahead and pick up this story. Do you think we've really been told the truth about what happened on September 11th, or is this another example of how propaganda can be used to create the reality of the American people?
Well, on our radio show, The Power Hour, I like to call it Propagenda instead of propaganda, because the powers that be do have an agenda, and they generate information and broadcast it as they see fit. And they use the media very, very effectively to mold the minds of America. I mean, after all, if we all have to make informed decisions, especially when it comes time to voting. But the question is, how can we make an informed decision if the information that is provided to us is misinformation and disinformation or a lie? And what it boils down to is that if that's the case, then our opinions are nothing more than extensions of the lie. And the overwhelming majority of Americans now realize that there is a huge cover-up involved when it comes to the official story of September 11th, and one by one, the house of cards is starting to fall apart. Most recently, at the FBI's website, they have, of course, the 10 most wanted men in the world listed there, one of which, of course, is Osama bin Laden. A reporter for the Muckraker report had noticed that on the wanted poster for Osama bin Laden, there was no mention of September 11th. He was wanted for a bunch of other terrorist activity, but of course nothing was mentioned about September 11th. So he contacted the FBI and spoke to a gentleman by the name of Rex Toom. Now, Mr. Toom, when asked why there was no mention of the 9/11 attacks on the Osama bin Laden most wanted page with the FBI, his response was, and I quote, "We have no hard evidence linking Osama bin Laden with the attacks of September 11th. Now, this, by definition, constitutes a conspiracy theory. When you charge someone with a conspiracy to commit a crime, and you have no evidence to prove that charge, then you are dealing with a theory. And the problem here is that this entire story, the official story of 19 hijackers flying planes into targets on September 11th, has so many holes in it, and there is no official information or hard evidence to support that contention. So what we have here is a situation where the United States has launched not one but two wars in Afghanistan and in Iraq based upon what can only be defined as a conspiracy theory.
And you know, the thing that really disturbs me most, Dave, is the fact that this last week, the government announced that the CIA was closing down the office of the department in the Central Intelligence Agency that was supposed to track down Osama bin Laden. Now, supposedly, that was the reason we went to war with Afghanistan, was to catch Osama bin Laden, but we absolutely refused to try to catch him. And he, when he and Osama and his men were trapped in the Tora Bora Mountains, and our special forces were there. We had lots of men. They were chafing at the idea of getting this man who was responsible for all the American deaths, but they wouldn't let him go after them. They said they hired 2,000 Afghan mercenaries, many of whom were loyal to Osama bin Laden, and they let him escape. So why didn't we pursue him into Pakistan? Oh, we couldn't. We couldn't violate a sovereign nation. Why couldn't we? After all, I mean, we've done this time and time and time again. We've got people operating Iran right now, special forces groups, you know, in some of the provinces there. Why couldn't we go after Osama? And now why have they closed down the office, you know, that was charged with trying to catch him? And why have we never tried to catch him, either before or after 9/11, when we could trace him all the way back to 1992, being involved with attacks on Americans? It just doesn't make any sense, Dave.
No, it doesn't. And this is why the official story of September 11th is so important. Actually, the real story about September 11th is so important. And as I mentioned, the official story is coming apart at the seams. And the video documentary 9/11 in Plain Sight has created quite a problem for them. It's been translated into five different languages. It's been translated into Italian, Japanese, Spanish, Arabic, and I'm not remembering which was, but there's five different languages aside from English that it's been released in. The whole world has seen 9/11 in Plain Sight. As a matter of fact, this past month, in June, it was screened at the first International Islamic Fair in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. And for 3 days, they screened In Plain Sight at the conference. And so many people were very upset because of the fact that they realize now, you know, they knew that they had been lied to, but the video footage that we have in Plain Sight it basically proves the contention that the official story is the conspiracy theory. Now, when Joyce and I went on the air on September 11th, that morning, just before the mic went live, we were watching the monitor, the television monitor in our little studio. And, of course, at that moment in history, the North Tower had already been hit. And that had happened at 8:45 Eastern Time, which was 7:45 Central. And we were going on the air at that time at 8 o'clock, which would have been 9 o'clock Eastern Time. So when our microphone went live at exactly the top of the hour, 9 o'clock Eastern Time, the first thing that I said, ladies and gentlemen, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, drop what you're doing and run to your VCR if you have one. Put a blank tape in and start taping any network that you can. And many listeners that we have did exactly that. In the coming months, we received somewhere between 65 and 70 videotapes of footage that was videotaped off air, off of the airwaves, live. And we had footage from Fox, from CNN, ABC, NBC, CBS. We had all of the major networks. And it occurred to me that CNN has CNN footage. Fox, of course, has Fox footage. And ABC, CBS, they all have their own footage. But I had compiled footage from all of the major networks. And I couldn't think of any other place in the world where any one person would have access to all of the different footage from all the networks. And when we started going through this, a year or so after the attacks, we began seeing some very, very serious inconsistencies in the official story. Of course, the big controversy began with the story about what had happened at the Pentagon. And the French had challenged that official story. Thierry Meyssan, a French author, had written a book called Le Pentagate, the Pentagon, the big lie, 9/11, the big lie. And they were challenging the official story of what had happened at the Pentagon. But what really got me going was the clips that we'd found that showed the South Tower being hit by, of course, what was reported to be Flight 175. And we all, I'm sure most of the listeners right now, recall the clip that we all saw over and over again, and there were frames from this video clip from CNN that were on the front page of newspapers and magazines where the plane is just about to hit the South Tower. And when we examine that video clip, and the listeners can all do this themselves. If you were videotaping from CNN, go ahead and check your tape. Or if you like, you can go to the Barnes & Noble or your Borders bookstore or Amazon.com, and you can purchase the video from CNN called America Remembers. And on that video is the video clip that we all saw. And when you examine that video in slow motion, this is something that they never did on television, but when you examine it in slow motion, as the plane approaches the building, you begin to see what appears to be something attached to the belly of the plane, and just before the plane hits, there's a bright flash. Now, the flash is very shocking. It took me about a week of looking at this thing and to realize, my God, what we're seeing here indicates that this could not have been a simple hijacking. And when we examined the video clips from the other networks that showed the same plane hitting the South Tower, we saw that flash from four different angles. Now, Dr. Stan, you've seen that video footage, and as many other people have, and this issue about the flash, of course, this is not the only issue, but this is a very important event that has not been discussed openly or honestly, not only in the mainstream media, but within the 9/11 truth movement itself. And there have been those that have attacked and ridiculed and tried to discredit the video footage and tried to say that it's been manipulated or it's been doctored or what have you, and nothing, of course, could be further from the truth. But the simple fact that the flash did occur, right there, flies in the face of the official stories that this was the result of a terrorist hijacking. Because we have to ask, what would cause a flash, a bright flash, that occurred before the plane slammed into the tower? So the four different possibilities, after much conversation with different experts, Air Force pilots, Army ordnance specialists, there are four different possibilities as to what that flash could be, and none of them are consistent with a hijacking.
Well, you know, that obviously we are not getting the truth. I've seen that flash there. It's very definite. Is that actually occur before the plane actually strikes?
It happens just as the plane is about to make contact. As a matter of fact, that flash is also seen in the only known footage of the North Tower being hit by what we were told was Flight 11.
Okay, Dave, we're going to have to go to a break here. I'm going to ask you if you wouldn't mind hanging up, and then, of course, we'll actually call you right back again. Just to make sure that Herman has your telephone number, I'm going to put you on hold.
Okay.
And we'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and I'm going to ask Herman if he will call Dave right back again, and we can just see if we can get a better line. So then, of course, I think that you really need to see this video. It's very, very provocative. Obviously, something is happening. And, of course, there are so many, many questions about what really happened that morning. I mean, did you know, for instance, that the government, which has said, oh, my goodness, we had no idea the possibility of anybody using planes as weapons and crashing into our buildings. Do you remember Condoleezza Rice making that statement? I have it being quoted a number of times. We clipped all the clippings from the newspaper at that time. And yet that very morning, somewhere between 3 and 5, government war exercises were taking place. And in these war exercises, why, they were actually simulating planes being hijacked and crashed into the building. They were actually putting false images onto the air traffic screeners or air traffic control radars to, you know, simulating these war games. In fact, some of the flight control people from FAA were saying, well, is this a real hijacking or is this a part of the war games going on? But you see, you couldn't let the American people know. That's covered actually in several books. Michael Rupert's book, Crossing the Rubicon, covered in James Bovard's book, A Pretext for War. They were actually, isn't it amazing that these wicked hijackers should be so lucky that the very morning when they're planning to attack America, there's to be simulated war games designed to confuse the air traffic controllers into thinking, of course, that the attack was not real, that was all part of the war games. Hi, Dave. How are you doing?
I'm just fine. Hope this is better.
All right, fine. You just speak right up, and we'll hope everything that the hum seems to be a little bit better.
Okay.
All right. Well, basically, we're talking about this bright flash that was readily apparent on the films. There's no question at all. It appeared on all of the films. This bright flash as the plane struck the building. Now, some people say, well, that's what happens when aluminum hits a hard object. What was the response to that?
Well, as I mentioned before you went to the break, we've discussed this event with numerous military people.
Okay, can you speak up just a little bit louder, Dave?
I'm sorry?
Can you speak just a little louder here?
Yeah, sure. We've discussed this particular event with numerous military people. I'm sure you're well aware that Joyce and I are in contact with many veterans from all branches of service, both retired and active duty. And the military people that we've spoken with, along with the airline pilots, we've discussed this ad nauseum, as in fact. And we've come to four different possibilities as to what would cause the flash. First of all, a reflection of some sort. Second of all, sparks of the aluminum hitting the concrete, as you mentioned. Third would be possibly a static discharge. And fourth would be something incendiary in nature. So let's go through each one of these possibilities one by one. The first one, the first suggestion, what caused the flash, some folks say it was a reflection. Well, this flash is seen from four different angles simultaneously. A reflection is not seen from four angles simultaneously, just as a reflection from a mirror from the sunlight is only going to go in one direction at one time. So that's one reason why it can't be a reflection.
Hold that thought there, Dave. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest is Dave Van Kleist, and we're talking about his video in plain sight, and that's P-L-A-N-E, not P-L-A-I-N, in plain sight. And we're talking about the flash that he shows on the, pictures that's very readily available. You can see it from four different angles, from four different sets of films there. And just as the plane strikes the World Trade Center, you see a flash of a bright flash. And so basically, Dave is going through the various explanations. One of them is it's simply a reflection, and of course he points out that when you have a reflection, you do not see the same reflection on from four different angles. If it's a reflection, you'll see it from one angle, but not from another angle. So pick up the story from there, Dave.
Right. Well, there's another very good reason why it can't be a reflection from the sunlight, and that is because the flash occurred on the shaded side of the South Tower. And again, you can see this event on the CNN video entitled America Remembers. If you have that one, you go to 7 minutes and 35 seconds into the program, and there it is. You can also see it in the PBS production called Why the Towers Fell. And it's just in the first few seconds of that film. But the point here is that there are four different distinct possibilities that would have caused the flash, according to the experts that we've discussed this with. The first, of course, the reflection, and we have ruled that out for two good reasons. As we mentioned, the flash, that reflection would only be seen from one angle, and the second reason it cannot be a reflection is because it occurred on the shaded side. The second possibility that people think is that it's from the sparks from the fuselage hitting the concrete. Well, upon examining the flash occurred to the right and below center of the contact point by about 6 to 10 feet. So it does not occur at the contact point. It is to the right and below center. In fact, from the PBS video, you can actually see a reflection of the flash in the fuselage of the plane. So it did not occur at the contact point. So we can rule out sparks because of the nose of the plane hitting the concrete. The third possibility that's been suggested is that this was a static discharge of some sort. Well, for the same reason it can't be sparks, it can't be a static discharge, because a static discharge would again have occurred at the point of impact, not 6 to 10 feet to the right and below center of the fuselage. So we can rule out static discharge. The only other possibility left is something incendiary in nature. Now, the point here is that when we get into talking about an incendiary event, whether it be the result of a bomb or a missile or some type of an explosion, the point is that this is not, the flash is not the result of a terrorist inside the cabin of the plane wielding a box cutter or a knife. And that's the point. I cannot and will not definitively say that this is an explosion as a result of a missile. I happen to believe that that's the most likely possibility, but I cannot say that this is definitively the result of a missile. But we do know that this was something incendiary that was outside of the official story of a terrorist hijacking, and that is the point. Now, we need a completely new investigation, obviously, and we need an open and honest debate as to what happened with these anomalies, these events, in regard to these planes hitting the towers.
Well, you know, what's really so interesting, Dave, is that the president didn't want either investigation. And then, of course, when it was determined that there would be an investigation, he insisted on censoring both the initial report, which was the Joint Senate Intelligence, Senate House Intelligence Committee report released in 2003, and then he insisted on appointing the people. In fact, he wanted Henry Kissinger to head the 9/11 Commission. Everybody
That's
knows
right.
what a man of integrity Henry Kissinger is, especially with the recent revelations.
Right.
And then, of course, he put his people into key positions, and then he insisted on censoring the report. Now, if they're not trying to conceal anything from the American people, are they hiding it from Osama bin Laden, who's hiding in a cave? Are we afraid that Osama will know it with what we knew ahead of time? Or are they trying to keep the American people from knowing what happened that morning and who is really responsible for the death of 3,000 Americans?
Well, this is exactly the point here. There is so much subterfuge and, as we stated, propaganda going on here that obviously the powers that be have utilized the claim that, you know, we can't discuss this because it's a threat to national security. Well, the real situation is it's a threat to their security. Now, in regard to this flash, we went through the footage of the South Tower. We then took a look at the only known footage that was shot by the French videographers of the North Tower being hit. And when we examined that footage, we saw the same flash that occurred, and this one occurred definitely before the plane hit the tower. So we have both towers, both planes, both with the same anomaly, both with the mysterious flash.
Hang on, we'll be back in just a moment with Dave von Kleisten. Ladies and gentlemen, think of the implications of what we're saying. Because this explains the justification for the wars. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and those of you who, of course, listen to our programs know we often quote Robert Baird, Bird, in his book, Casino Evil, And Robert Byrd was immortalized in George Clooney's movie Syriana, where George Clooney actually plays the part of Robert Baer. And in the footage that goes with that, you'll actually see pictures of Robert Baer, who 25 years in the CIA in Iraq, you know, a good part of the 1990s. But his statement that in the preface to the book, one of his friends had been told off the record by one of the highest ranking CIA officials that what happened on 9/11, when the dust settled after 9/11, the American people would realize that what had happened was not a failure of intelligence. When the dust settles after 9/11, the American people will realize that this was not a failure of intelligence. This was a triumph. 3,000 Americans are dead, and this is a triumph for intelligence. And President Bush congratulates George Tenet and the CIA for a job well done, and nobody gets fired. And I think we have to ask seriously what really happened that morning, why nobody was fired for incompetence, unless they did exactly what they were supposed to do. Because that then led to our attack on Afghanistan, our attack on Iraq, and may well one day soon lead to our involvement in a much expanded Middle East war, because that is exactly what the government was planning before the 9/11 attack. Pick up the story there, Dave.
Well, you're absolutely right, and that movie Syriana has some very, very interesting information in it. I remember one of the statements by one of the characters in the early part of the film. They were talking about the investors and the oil companies, and one of the characters makes the statement, well, look, as long as we can keep the engine that runs on water from hitting the market, and as long as we can keep the wars going in the Middle East, our investments are going to be secure. And this demonstrates the mindset and the attitude of what we call the corporate Borg that is running both parties in this country. Both Republican and Democrat and Republican parties are sub-parties of the one party, which is really in control, and of course that's the multinational international corporations. They have everything in the world to gain from creating and promoting a quote-unquote global war on terror. And this whole talk about us going in to liberate Iraq is a ruse. If we were going in to liberate Iraq and to give them their democracy and then vacate the premises, then why is Halliburton involved in building it's either 104 or 114, I forget what it is, but it's a huge embassy.
Hold that thought right there. We'll be back in just a moment with Davon Gleiss. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Davon Gleiss from the Power Hour. Before we go on, Dave, I do want you to tell our listeners how they can get copies of your video in plain sight. And also, if you have a moment, maybe you'd like to tell them where you've actually changed your shortwave frequencies. And we want our listeners who haven't been able to find you in the last week or so to know where to get you. But how can people get copies of your video?
Sure. The video, 9/11 in plain sight, you can get that for $15 plus $5 shipping, and you can call the toll-free line 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or you can order online at 911inplainsight.com. And again, that's P-L-A-N-E, like airplane, S-I-T-E, like website, 911inplainsight.com.
Well, you did a great job with that, and I want to congratulate you for it. Do you have those shortwave frequencies, or I have them down here if you don't have them?
Sure. Well, we're broadcasting live from 7 until 10 a.m. Central Time on WWCR, and the first 2 hours, the frequency is 7.465 on the international shortwave, and the third hour is 9.985. Now, we also broadcast live on WINB, which is 13.570 on the shortwave dial. There is a replay from 9 until 12 midnight Central Time on WINB, and that frequency, for some reason, is escaping me right now. Do you have that one?
Well, I have 9.265.
That's what it is. Thank you. 9.265. And also on WWCR, they're carrying the second and third hour on 3.215, and that's from 10 until 12 midnight Central Time. Thanks for helping me out with that frequency. They change with the seasons. I can never keep up with them.
Don't you worry. I have the same problem that you do. But anyway, I'm so glad that you're back up there. And for our listeners out there, be sure to tune in to Joyce and Dave's Power Hour. You're going to get a lot of great and reliable information. So basically, then, of course, we were talking about you know, the what happened on September 11th. And really, have we been told the truth? Of course, it was the attacks on the World Trade Center that changed everything. That was a watershed event. And after that, we went to war with Afghanistan to catch Osama bin Laden. And then we forgot about Osama bin Laden. And we went to war with Iraq because we wanted to liberate the people. And now, of course, you can see the tempo of violence increasing. A couple of hundred people killed in the last couple of days. How could you do such a poor job unintentionally? I mean, there's so many unanswered questions there, like why, when we first went in, why did we dissolve the Iraqi army, the Iraqi police force, then the Iraqi civil service? If you were to do that, the United States, what do you think would happen the next day? You'd have chaos.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it is madness what's going on. But the real madness here, Stan, and this is what really is making me a little bit upset, if I can use the, you know, use that. I'm, of course, minimizing this. The thing that is so upsetting is that right here in this country, we're supposed to be the land of the free and the home of the brave. And the simple fact is that one by one, our freedoms are being stripped from us simply because we are not brave enough to do what our founding fathers told us to do. Now, folks say all the time, well, gosh, well, what can I do about it? What, you know, what? I'm only one person. Or you can't fight City Hall, you know, or you can't vote them out. Folks, this is supposed to be a country where it's of, by, and for the people. But what kind of a government are you going to have when the people refuse to get involved and refuse to own up to the responsibility they have as citizens of this country? Now, we just celebrated Independence Day. Unfortunately, we've all been brainwashed to call it the 4th of July. Of course, it's not called the 4th of July. That just happens to be the date that Independence Day falls on. But the simple fact is that the reason they call it the 4th of July is because they don't want people to think about the Declaration of Independence, because they just might sit down and read it. And if folks were to read the Declaration of Independence, they just might find what Thomas Jefferson was telling us. He stated in the Declaration that when a long train of usurpations and abuses invents a design to reduce them, the people, under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and provide new guards for their future security. Now, right there, it's spelled out. This is not just our right. This is our duty to protect our freedom. We must throw off bad government. Now, I'm not advocating revolution, and I'm not advocating anarchy. What I am saying is that the powers that be have taken over. And as I mentioned before, we are now of, by, and for the corporations in this country. And it will remain that way until America rediscovers what their true heritage is and who we really are. And the fact is that it is up to us to make the change.
And, you know, I think it's so interesting, Dave, that we know that on May Day, which is a communist holiday, but May 1st, that there were over 500,000 illegal immigrants and their supporters marching through the streets of Los Angeles and shutting down the city. Over 500,000 illegal immigrants are marching through the streets of Chicago, shutting down our city. It appears that the illegal immigrants are much more concerned about their freedom than the average American is concerned about his.
Well, of course. And, you know, when you stop and look at these third world nations that we in America like to think of as all these backward nations in Central and South America, and they're always having these revolutions, and they're always rising up and having these military conflicts. Wait a second. Why is it that we as Americans don't examine our situation here and compare them to what's going on in some of these other countries? Now, in other countries, if those people of those countries were to find out that their voting booths had been corrupted and that an election had been thrown and the ballot boxes had been destroyed there would be a revolution. That's what kicks off revolutions in other countries. But not in this country. What do? we mount campaigns to vote them out. And this is so ludicrous, because if we can't vote them out because the voting booths have been corrupted, then why are we mounting voting campaigns? It's just, it's crazy.
Well, I think that people only have to look at the Ohio election. If there was any instance at all of corruption, it was the voting machines in Ohio, because the exit polls showed that John Kerry won Ohio.
Of course.
The voting machine said that George Bush did, and one of those voting machines gave, in a precinct with 800 people, gave 4,000 votes to George Bush. And the explanation was, oh, well, the machine had a hiccup. Now, most people always said, oh, well, the machine had a hiccup, and that explains it. Ladies and gentlemen, the vote was rigged. Any time you have voting machines, you rig, but really didn't matter, because both John Kerry and George Bush came from the same secret society. It only has about 800 members. It's called Skull and Bones, and neither one of those people would actually comment on the secret society they belong to. You know, they both said it's too secret to talk about. Well, where is their real allegiance? Is it to America or to the secret society that to this very day is so secret they can't discuss it? And if we really have two people from the same secret society running for the presidency, do we really have a choice between Tweedledum and Tweedledee?
Well, see, this is exactly why I'm saying, you know, in the state of Ohio, if so many Ohioans had become aware of the corruption of the voting booths, then why, for the love of God and country, don't these people take to the streets? When is it time to break out the pitchforks and torches and storm the castle? And again, I am not advocating armed revolution, although unless something changes very quickly, I'm afraid that might be the only solution to get our country back.
Well, I think that, as somebody said recently, you know, you saw 500,000 illegal immigrants, you know, demonstrating peacefully in Chicago, but wait till there are 500,000 of them demonstrating violently in Chicago and in Los Angeles, you know, because they can't get their jobs, because they're not getting what they want to, because they're not getting their welfare checks, because they're not going to get their Social Security, or even more than that, because pressure is being put on their employers not to hire them. And then you're going to see violent demonstrations, and the American people, as long as, of course, we have, Sunday, now we even got to have Sunday night football. Isn't that great? Desecrating the Lord's Day with Sunday night football. It's about time people understood that freedom is lost when good people aren't involved. Well, let's get back, of course, to what really happened on September 11th, because that is the key. If we can convince the American people that there were people, I'm not saying who they were, I'm not even saying the president knew about it ahead of time, but I am saying that somebody within our intelligence agencies had to know that attack was coming, because we know that Mayor Willie Brown of San Francisco was notified the night before. I know, because I talked to his press secretary. We know that, of course, people in the Pentagon changed their flight schedules for the September 11th on September 10th. How do we know that? Well, I had my good friend, Dr. Dennis Cuddy, called the editor of Newsweek magazine that ran the story, and he said, when asked, you know, where did the story come from? You had to verify it before you read it. You read it. He said, I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
Everything is a cover-up.
Well, it really is, and we also have to ask the question, you know, why did President Bush lie when he was asked by a child what his first thoughts were when the plane hit the first tower? Now, of course, the first tower was not broadcast live on television. Nobody saw that on television.
Not until the next day.
Until the next day, correct. The point here is that when President Bush was asked about the first tower, he stated that he was in a classroom and they had a TV on, and the plane hit the tower, and his response was, gosh, it must be pilot error. Now, why would President Bush make up a story like that? Why would he state that he saw the first plane hitting the first tower on television when it was not on television? And then to make the statement that it was pilot error. I mean, even if he was mistaken and he was watching the second plane hitting the second tower, by then we would have known it was not pilot error. So President Bush is absolutely involved in the cover-up. There is no doubt about it. And we can also link Dick Cheney to this for numerous reasons. But the simple fact is that all of this is contention. All of this is conspiracy theory. What we have to do is look at the evidence. We have to examine the photographic and video evidence, which is exactly what the 9/11 in plain sight focuses exclusively on. Now, there are witness testimonies, But let's keep in mind that witness testimony, one way or the other, is not evidence. What we do is take a look at the evidence and compare it to witness testimony. If the witness testimony is consistent with the evidence, then the witness testimony has credibility. If the witness testimony is not consistent with evidence, then we have to question the witness testimony, which is why witness testimony is almost always thrown out when it comes to issues like TWA Flight 800. Now, we know that over 700 people had stated that they saw what appeared to be a missile hit Flight 800. However, because the witness testimony was not in line or consistent with the official story, the FBI and the CIA all threw the witness testimony out and said it was not credible, witnesses can have conflicting stories, or witnesses can be influenced. The same thing was true with the Oklahoma City bombing. Witnesses had stated that the building blew out across the street, not in. But again, that witness testimony was not consistent with the official story, so they threw all of the witness testimony out. Now, in the case of September 11th, when it came to the Pentagon, there were witnesses that said that they saw a 757 hit the Pentagon. Now, despite the fact that the photographic evidence refutes this, those witness testimonies are being held up as evidence. So this is the only evidence that the mainstream media and the government officials have to support the contention that a 757 hit the Pentagon. Now, there are small pieces of metal, but none of them are definitely identifiable as pieces of a 757. In fact, the photographic evidence that was taken before the collapse of the outer ring is clearly inconsistent with a 757 strike.
And now, could you explain that the reason that it's inconsistent is because the hole is so very small?
Well, that's right. Now, again, we're talking about the photographs and the video footage that was taken before the collapse of the outer ring. Now, there's no doubt that something hit the Pentagon. The question is, what hit the Pentagon? And what would cause such a small hole, maybe 16 to 20 feet maximum, on the first floor? Now, we've talked with many different airline pilots. Most recently, I interviewed a pilot that flew for 33 years commercial airlines, and he was with American Airlines. He flew 767s. And he explained to me, along with several other airline pilots, that there is something called ground effect. Now, we've all seen pictures of wind tunnels when they've got an automobile and they're seeing how the air moves around the car and they have a stream of smoke and the smoke goes up and around the top of the car, or it goes around the bottom of the airfoil. Well, such is the case when an airplane is moving through the air. Now, when an airplane is moving at a high rate of speed, of course, that wind is pushed even farther up above and below the plane. When the plane, when the plane gets close to the ground, the air being pushed below the plane has nowhere to go but back up again and creates something called ground effect. It makes it virtually impossible for a plane traveling at that rate of speed, reportedly 530 miles per hour, if the plane was trying to come in contact with the ground, it couldn't happen because the wind bouncing off the ground would push the plane back up, and according to three airline pilots, even if you had the stick in the cockpit pushed completely forward as if you wanted to dive the plane, you could not bring the plane any closer than 40 to 60 feet above the ground.
And of course, anybody who's seen the pictures there of the Pentagon realizes that hole and the side of the Pentagon is right at ground level.
It is. And again, it's only 16 to 20 feet. Now, the other question we have to ask is, what are the biggest, heaviest, densest part of a 757?
Of course, it's the engines.
The engines. So why would there only be one hole instead of two? So the point here, and why would the fuselage create a hole and the engines would not?
Of course, did they ever find the engines? What did they say?
Well, there are some photographs of pieces of metal, but there are so many conflicting stories. I mean, one story says that the entire plane vaporized. Now, another story that we heard, and you may recall about 6 weeks ago, there was a big to-do about the new release of the extended video footage from the security camera at the Pentagon, which is supposed to prove irrefutably that it was Flight 77, a 757, that had hit the Pentagon. And in the build-up, and this was on a Tuesday afternoon, I think it was oh gosh, I can't remember the date. It was towards the end of March. Maybe it was 6 weeks ago. But they were interviewing Janie McIntyre on CNN. And Kara Phillips asked him about his experience because he was at the Pentagon. And she asked him about the contention that it wasn't a plane that hit the Pentagon. He said that this was nonsense because he took pictures of the fuselage in the cockpit. However, on his live broadcast, which we have the video clip of, when he was at the Pentagon on September 11th, he stated that there was no fuselage or any large pieces of aircraft.
Hold that thought, we'll be going to be just wrap up the program here with Dave Von Kleist. Ladies and gentlemen, we could go on for hours. You want to get this video, you want to see it. If they lied to us about this, they're lying about everything. We'll be right back. Well, Dave, you were just saying that this fellow had actually said, you know, on the very day of the attack, on his radio program, and you actually have clips of that, which you played on another program for us, that he said that there was no records, and recently he said, oh, yes, he's lots of records, he even took pictures of it. So how could you put the two together? I mean, how could he say one thing one time and something entirely different another?
Well, this explains why Janie McIntyre is the senior Pentagon correspondent for CNN. He tells the story very well. And the simple fact that his own testimony conflicts itself raises questions. But again, we're talking about witness testimony. The In Plain Sight Video Project focuses exclusively on video and photographic evidence. And at no time during the presentation have I theorized at any time. I basically am posing common sense questions based upon the photographic evidence. And I allow the viewer to come to their own conclusions as to what it is that they're seeing. And if what you're seeing is not consistent with the official story, then I think we can all agree that we do have a very serious problem. And time and time and time again, when we look at the video footage and compare it to common sense, we find that common sense will win out every single time. The problem is that common sense does not fit to the official story of what happened on September 11th. And we owe it to our unborn great-grandchildren to get to the truth about what happened on September 11th, because they will either curse our complacency or they will applaud our activism.
And of course, the thing is that we owe it to the boys who are over there fighting and dying in Afghanistan and in Iraq to get to the truth. And if the people in our government, some people, I'm not saying who they were, but if some people in the intelligence agency look upon what happened as a triumph, if some people there knew the attack was coming and did not try to stop it and left those 3,000 Americans to die, and now then sent our boys overseas to fight and bleed and suffer and die in a series of senseless wars that are more of a diversion than anything, and as they fight overseas for freedom, we lose our freedom here at home,
well,
then somebody
right.
should be held responsible.
That's right, and I'm sure you know, and the listeners that know who Joyce and I are, I think you'll all agree that we are very supportive of the troops, both active duty and veterans. We've been standing shoulder to shoulder with veterans since day one, and we will continue to do so. Our concern right now is that our guys and gals in uniform are being thrown into a meat grinder, they're being led down the garden path, and they're being lied to, and they're being used and abused. And it has to stop.
Okay, we're out of time, Dave. God bless you. Thanks so much for being with us. I hope you get feeling better.
Thank you. I feel wonderful. Thank you so much.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I hope you enjoyed our interview with Dave Von Kleist. He's done a great job. He and Joyce have done a great job with a video in plain sight. We've recommended it to you. And then, of course, we carry another video. It's called The Day That Changed the World Forever. It's put together by our good friend Dave Wagner, and you'll actually see Building 7 coming down. Obviously, it was a controlled explosion. If it was a controlled explosion, how did Osama bin Laden get the explosives in the building? Or maybe Osama bin Laden didn't get the explosives in the building. Maybe they were planted there ahead of time in anticipation of what was going to happen. Anyway, of course, you'll actually see on this video of Dave Wagner's Gary Hart, who ran for president some years ago. Gary Hart, addressing a group of people at the Council on Foreign Relations emergency meeting, saying this situation may allow the president to carry out what his father talked about only once, and that is to pursue a new world order. And you'll hear, of course, the Premier of Canada saying this war will never end. This war will never end. And ladies and gentlemen, that's true. This war is not going to end. We are not going to pull our troops out. We may pull some troops out, but we intend to keep our troops permanently stationed there. How can I make that statement? Because I've read the plan. Where can you read the plan? In our syllabus entitled The Iraq, the Untold Story. It goes with a video we have, and there, of course, you'll see the material put out by the Project for the New American Century, this little clandestine group organized in 1997 that consisted of Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld, John Bolton, Paul Wolfowitz, Zalmid Khalilzad, who is the current ambassador to Iraq. I mean, there are only 27 of them. And yet, of course, they dominate our government today. Skipper Liddy, Elliot Abrams, a lot of people in key positions of the government. 27 of them set out in 1997 to take over our government. We've simply taken the material from their webpage and included it in our syllabus. And in their little pamphlet on rebuilding America's defenses, I think it's 62 pages, they talk about how we are to have our troops permanently stationed in the Middle East, whether Saddam Hussein is in power or not. We will have to have troops permanently stationed in the Middle East. It's all there. Get my video, Iraq, the Untold Story. Again, of course, the syllabus goes with that. You need to have that information available. And then you have to understand the spiritual force which energizes all of this. And that, of course, what you could read about in my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness. And you'll want to get our pamphlets. There are three of them. They're each about 40 pages long. And they're inexpensive, I think $9.95 for all three pamphlets. And it's called the occult hierarchy. Who really rules the world? Who controls the Council on Foreign Relations? Who controls the Trilateral Commission and the Bilderbergers and the Club of Rome and the Rosicrucians and the Theosophists and the Masons and the Skull and Bones and the Bohemian Grove and so many other of these organizations? Well, you really want to get the pamphlets on the occult hierarchy because, of course, what you're seeing are the front groups for the people who really rule the world, or perhaps they're not people. Perhaps they are beings from another dimension. Could this really be true? Are we indeed involved in a spiritual battle? Is there an angelic and demonic dimension, another dimension out there? Well, I think you'll be fascinated to read what they have to say. And then, of course, we're told about this repeatedly in the Bible. We're told to avoid mediums and to avoid fortune tellers and diviners and the people who are involved in the black arts. Why? Because they're tapping into the other dimension, ladies and gentlemen. You have to understand we're involved in a spiritual battle, being fought on a political and ideological and cultural battlefield, a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Western civilization. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, www.radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Remember, we carry the Berkey products, and we carry the Sanjian radios. We carry the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum Miracle 2 soap products. We do this to try to finance what we do. We hope that many of you out there will be willing to help us in this endeavor to try to educate the American people. Our webpage, radioliberty.com. Please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. Well, this is Dr. Sten back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And we need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, and the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls until we ask for them, and we'll ask for them if we want them. Otherwise, sometimes there's so much information to get out that we really don't have time to bring that out. In other words, to take calls as well. Somebody had called at the end of the last program and asked, about any evidence of the use of thermite in the Twin Towers coming down. And yes, Dr. Stephen Jones has found evidence of that. And of course, nobody wants to address why there had been thermite on the steel beams that collapsed down, because this has to be applied. And that's, of course, how you cut across. You use that for cutting charges on steel beams. Well, I guess for the next hour will be Mr. Aaron Zellman, and he's with Jews for the Preservation of Firearms Ownership. That is Jews for the Preservation of Firearms Ownership, and he is very concerned about the possibility that they will collect the weapons here in the United States, as they did in Hitler's Germany, and you know what happened, of course, in Hitler's Germany, once they disarmed the people, to the Jewish people and to the Christians as well. And, of course, Aaron has put together a wonderful video that simply outlines what happened to the Armenians. And, first of all, they took away their weapons. What happened to the people in Rwanda after they took away their weapons? What happened to the people in Germany? And what happened to the people in China after they took away their weapons? It's a standard technique of tyrants. And the question is, why are they so interested in disarming the American people when all the studies show that the more weapons that the law-abiding citizens have, the less crime of violence there is? You take away the weapons in the city, why, of course, the criminals know that they're still going to have their guns. They will not have to worry about, of course, any opposition. Disarm the people, you have a helpless citizenry. And, of course, with an armed citizenry, you can have law and order. With a disarmed citizenry, you have a dictatorship. Aaron, thank you very much for being with us this evening.
My pleasure.
Well, why don't you tell us, you've been at this for a long time, haven't you?
Too long. Yes, I have indeed.
And firstly, you know, I think each one of us is called in our own way to do what we do. I think I met you probably a decade ago. I think it was a meeting of the Constitution Party. I've forgotten where it was, but certainly you've been trying to get people to understand. So I'm going to let you tell the story why you think it's so important for the people of America to be armed.
Well, it's not just the people of America; it's really the people of the world. You know, the first thing that goes when the powers to be decide they want to have a police state is the ability of the citizenry to defend themselves against evil. And if you study the history of the world, you'll see that time and time again, when the government goes bad, they fear an armed citizenry. I suppose one way to understand this, Dan, is that the basic nature of government is, if it's not under our control, it's out of control.
Okay, hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Mr. Aaron Zellman. And, of course, we'll be talking about the right of the people to keep and bear arms. All right, our guest is Aaron Zellman. Go ahead, Aaron. And you said that if the government isn't under control, it's out of control. And of course, when the people are armed, why, the government will respect their rights. Once they can get the weapons away from the people, then, of course, the people have no rights. And the idea that we can depend on the government to look after our freedom, I think, is simply a misguided illusion. Go ahead.
Well, the point I want to make is that the government's attitude is, Stan, politicians take the position that if things or if the situation or if the country is not under their control, and they consider the whole situation to be out of control. And so that's where, you know, the expression control freaks, it's really, it may sound humorous to some, but it really is very serious. Most people who go into politics want power. They want power to control the situation. And it's very difficult to control people if you have some spunky people who have firearms, who choose freedom instead of slavery. So it sounds so simple, but it's a situation that's played out time and time again throughout the world. If you apply it to America, we've gone from a republic where people have a, what I call a, or we had a Bill of Rights culture, to what we have today. And that is certainly the underpinnings or the foundation of a police state. We have a society that is obviously run by people who fear an armed citizenry because they can't control an armed citizenry. And I think the questions need to be raised as to why they want a disarmed citizenry. Why are they fearful of the citizenry being armed? What are they planning, or what do they fear is going to happen? Or, you know, has something been going on they don't want the public to know about? And I think all these are real possibilities.
And, of course, there is a United Nations plan to disarm everybody in the world, isn't there?
Yes, there is. And, you know, I think it's important that people understand that they had a conference that just ended last week dealing with worldwide disarmament. And, of course, they kept saying they weren't interested in people's small arms. But indeed, you know, if you go to our website, by the way, we put on an alert, I guess it was just on Sunday, we came across a 51-page report, or a study, a blueprint, if you will, on exactly how to go about world disarmament. And so it's there, it's on the internet, it's there free for people to read. And they are very much concerned about the people of the world staying armed.
All right, we're going to be back in just a moment with Aaron Zellman and talking about the plan to disarm the people of America, the people of the world. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening, Aaron Zellman. And, of course, we're talking about the plan to disarm the people of the United States, the plan to disarm the people of the world. And I think it's so vitally important that people understand there is a master plan. There are those who want power. Tyrants always want to disarm the populace. In fact, it's amazing to me as I watch television, or you say watch something like Law and Order. And they've given us, it's a perfectly normal thing. When you want to go arrest somebody, you go there with a SWAT team and the police wearing their bulletproof vests and their helmets and automatic weapons and breaking the doors down, not bothering to knock at all. That's how, of course, what they're doing is saying this is perfectly normal procedure, and it is not normal procedure. This is a violation of the Constitution of the United States when you break things down where you don't necessarily have a warrant. You just go ahead and you do what you think is, well, you know, maybe you think you're going to get the bad guys, but could it be used against the good guys, those who want freedom? Freedom is always on the defensive, and today more than ever, because there really are people who lust after power, who do not believe in our Constitution, and would simply take away our freedom and take away our weapons, our ability to defend ourselves. And it's been said so often, you know, when the government fears the people, why, there's freedom. But when the people fear the government, there is tyranny. So pick up the story there, Aaron.
Well, what you've summed it up very well. I don't think I could say it much better. But let me just share a few quotes with you. I think this will help people have a better grasp. We sent out an alert to people. It's on our website, jpfo.org, on July 9th. That was this Sunday. I want to read a quote to you that we have there. It's by a professor from Cambridge University, Robert Neild. And he says, this is his quote, "Gone long ago is the time when we Europeans could subdue other continents because we had firearms and the local peoples had not." Think about that, Stan.
Sure.
An amazing statement and admission. from these folks. I guess you would call them a globalist or an elitist, a statist.
And of course, that's why they fear the people. They are actually putting together a world army. What's the world army? It's NATO, of course. I mean, why do you still have to have NATO after all? I mean, isn't communism dead? So what's the purpose of NATO? It is to be the world army, and they're putting together special forces units, and there'll be American troops in NATO. They can go anywhere in the world to put down insurrection. That's what it's all about. It's not about preserving freedom. It's putting down the people who want to have freedom.
Let me share a couple more quotes with you from this paper. It says, to prevent conflict and violence from undermining developments, effective disarmament programs are vital. Think about that. Their concept of undermining development means that you must be disarmed. Another comment. Disarmament, demobilization, and reintegration is one precursor to the establishment of a stable and secure environment. Disarmament, demobilization, and reintegration. What in the world are they thinking about?
They're thinking about disarming people and bringing them under control of the ruling elite, because there really are people who believe that they have the right to rule the rest of us.
I mean, demobilization. We had a comment from a fellow who considered himself to be a Norwegian survivor of World War II, and he said the very word of demobilization put a chill down his spine. That means that you're going to uproot people and move them around to wherever you want them to be. One other comment. They said small arms are fundamentally dangerous, and their removal from the equation either by control, neutralization, or removal is essential. The first step is to gain information on their numbers and whereabouts. That ought to scare the daylights out of anybody who has a concealed carry permit in this country. They now have you registered. They now know you have a gun. They know where to find you. If you've ever bought a gun in a store, a retail store, you fill out the yellow form, the 4473, your goose is cooked. They know where to find you. They know you have a gun. They know you're out there. The worst thing you could have done is bought a registered firearm.
And this is the great tragedy of today, is that they're not supposed to keep these records, but does anybody believe that the government obeys the laws? I mean, there are all sorts of laws on freedom of information. You just try to get a freedom of information request, responded to in a timely time, as is required by law. They just totally ignore the law. But even more than that, the federal statutes, my understanding, you correct me if I'm wrong, Aaron, but the FBI is supposed to, or they're supposed to destroy all these records after just a short period of time. But do they do it?
Well, that's something we don't know. But again, you have to go back to the FBI is no different than the other government agency. They want knowledge, they want information, they want intelligence, and above all, they want to control the issue. So they may tell us we're destroying the papers, the records, but are they? And that really is a $64 question.
Well, my understanding is they really are not, but of course you would be a lot closer to that than I, but they really want to know who.
Well, I have to tell you, they don't clue me in on anything.
I'm sure they don't.
I'm not on their list of shared information.
But I'm sure, of course, you have access to a lot of people who are keeping track of what's going on. And what people do not understand is that there are people, some people in government, who have an entirely different view. They don't believe in these ideas of freedom or limited government. They have a different worldview because they have a different, my opinion is they worship a different God, and that's where we get into real problems. And many times there's a spiritual force that drives these people in their quest, their insane quest for power. And of course it goes right along with creating this world government. And of course they want to disarm the entire world. Now what happened at this meeting that they had last week or whenever, planning on how to disarm the world?
Well, fortunately, nothing. This time around, nothing. They could not make it. They could not agree on a standard paper, a follow through plan. But they plan on coming back again.
Yeah, They just keep coming back again.
There are some procedures they intend to take to circumvent having a full scale conference again to bring about the big push, if I can put it that way, to a world disarmament plan.
Now, my understanding is that...
Just bear with me a second. In 2001, they had a conference, didn't accomplish anything. 2006, they had a conference, didn't accomplish anything. There is paper, this 51-page paper on how to go about destroying gun ownership throughout the world, which is on our website at jpfo.org. That paper's been around since 2001. These folks are serious. They are going to do whatever they have to do to bring about what they call their new world order. So I certainly would encourage people to go to jpfo.org and read this paper and share it with the world.
Now, where did you get the paper? Are you in a position to say that?
I got to tell you, it's amazing. It's on the Internet.
Oh, really?
These people are so cavalier. They are so arrogant that they hide nothing. You know, people think there's a conspiracy. I don't think so. They're not hiding anything. They just don't care. They have an agenda. And if you forgive the expression, they're hell-bent to achieve it.
Well, I think that is a very, very good expression, as a matter of fact. And the thing is, of course, I think that they really rely upon the apathy and the indifference of the American people, that they really couldn't believe something could be this enormous, this well-organized, and there would be people so dedicated to taking away our freedom, because aren't we nice people? I mean, why would anybody want to disarm us and enslave us? Why? And I think people have to understand we are the most important country in the world, because if they can disarm and enslave us, then of course they can use our military might and our financial power to enslave the rest of the world. But first of all, they have to control the American people.
Well, you've chosen the right word concerning people's reluctance and apathy to stand up to evil. But I think what's happened, if you look around our society, Stan, is that people have been not only dumbed down by the public school system, but they've been beaten down by the bureaucracy. Wherever they turn, there's a bureaucracy. And at some point, people just, they give up. They become numb to the world around them. And this is what's happening in America today. And it's happened in other countries before. You know, you look at the former Soviet Union. People were literally numb. They just didn't care anymore. They just went along to get along. And that's what's happening in America today. And, of course, we have a situation where a lot of people in this country haven't got a clue about the real history of America. It's what makes America, America. You know, and the core value that makes America, America, in my opinion, is the Bill of Rights.
That and the fact that the whole Bill of Rights was really a restriction on the power of the central government.
Absolutely. If you read the, people do need to read the preamble to the Bill of Rights, where it makes it very clear these declaratory clauses are laid out to help the newly informed government understand the limitations of its power. And a lot of people in this country, I would bet, Stan, that 70% of the people in America have never read the Bill of Rights.
And they don't understand that the...
So therefore, they don't know what they're losing.
Our founding fathers feared government. That's why they insisted on the Bill of Rights being attached. And what did it say? It said, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or restricting the free exercise thereof, or limiting the right of the freedom of press, freedom of speech, and the right of the people to assemble. Congress shall make no law. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be abridged. It was a restriction on the power of the central government. And, of course, the whole idea of the Bill of Rights was to restrict the power of government. It was government that takes away our freedom. Government doesn't give us our freedom. Our freedom comes from God. And that's what the Declaration of Independence said. Government's instituted among men to preserve these rights. And what were those rights? The right to... life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's why we have government. But, you see, there have always been those who wanted to use government to enslave people. There always have been, there always will be. And they're in positions of ultimate power today. Well, I guess this evening is Aaron Zelman. So, Aaron, pick up the story there, because I think it's so vitally important that people understand. You have up there on your website this 52-page summary. And now, is this put out by the United Nations, or who's actually putting this out?
Well, this is put out by this professor from Cambridge University, Robert Neild, who wrote the paper. And I would encourage people to go ahead and go to jpfo.org. And we have a section called Previous Alerts, and it's for the day of July 9th, which is just this past Sunday. You mentioned something I want to touch on about our rights coming from the Almighty. I think it's important for people to be challenged, Stan, to ask themselves, to ask their neighbors, their family members, their coworkers, and such, do they fear the government more than they do God? If the answer is yes, they are already a slave. And slaves have no need for firearms. People have got to come to grips with that question. They got to determine who is their master. And if it's either the Almighty or if it's the government, they're finished. They're already slaves. So I just want to share that with people. Secondly, you know, we're talking about the Bill of Rights. There's two things I'd like to bring to people's attention. One, December 15th, 1791 was the ratification of the Bill of Rights, Bill of Rights Day, if you will. And we have had an ongoing program for the last, oh, probably 10 years or so, promoting Bill of Rights Day and encouraging people to share the Bill of Rights, the information, the message of the Bill of Rights with people year-round, but especially on Bill of Rights Day. To make it a little easier, we have the Bill of Rights in 16 languages on our website, an English translation for each of these languages. And I would encourage people to, if you know someone who doesn't speak English, well, then help them understand the core value of being an American, and that is freedom, and then that comes from the Bill of Rights. So we've made the effort to help it, to make it easier for you to reach out to people and to help them understand what they're destroying if they're not supporting all of the Bill of Rights for all citizens.
And, you know, I think the most amazing thing is that if you study history, men have always wanted to be free. And freedom does not mean you can do whatever you want to. Freedom means you can do what you should do according to God's rules, because if you have people who can do whatever they want to, you're going to have moral anarchy. Our whole concept of freedom here was of our dependence upon God for our leadership. We could be independent as a nation, but of course we had to be dependent upon God. Those will not be ruled by God, will be ruled by tyrants. And that was the idea of it. Certainly John Adams said this form of government was made for a moral and religious people. It wouldn't work for any others. And look is what's happening to our society today.
You're absolutely right. You've unfortunately hit the nail right on the head. You've hit the X-ring. Look at what's happening in America today since we've moved away from being a moral people.
And, of course, if we don't get back to some sort of moral foundation, why, of course, we're going to lose America. And if America falls, then this wonderful experiment that, you know, had been going on really for thousands of years, dating all the way back to Greece's try to form up a utopian society through democracy, and then Rome and their republic, which, of course, eventually degenerated into a democracy, and then, of course, into a dictatorship. And then the evolution over a period of, well, from 476, when Rome fell, exactly 1,300 years later in 1776, we have the Declaration of Independence, which is really the founding document of our Constitution, the founding document of our freedom. We'll be right back. Well, as you've done, Stan, our guest is Aaron Zellman, of Jews for the Preservation of Firearms Ownership, and of course, you call it JPFO, is that right?
Is it JPFO.org?
JPFO.org, go there. I mean, Aaron's been at this for a long time. He's got great information up there. Certainly, I talked to a gentleman this afternoon who told me that not only he actually makes some frames for firearms, but he and several people have been raided recently. I mean, they will send 40 people to raid a one-man operation. It's obviously an effort in intimidation. Have you run into this, that the government is becoming increasingly aggressive towards anybody who has anything to do with the manufacture and sale of legal firearms?
Oh, yes, indeed. We have a... this raises a couple points. On our website, we have an entire campaign called Boot, the B-A-T-F-E. They've been known as jackbooted thugs. We think it's time to have the boot on the other foot and to boot them. We're working on a documentary film at the moment called The Gang, and The Gang is about the criminality of the BATF, the government gangsters, if you will. On our site, we have a couple of examples. One is, I saw the name of Len Savage, who is a manufacturer of historic arms. He takes World War II guns and he makes them available in semi-automatic versions. And they have made his life miserable because he dared to tell the truth. He dared to expose the criminality of the BATFE. And we have a little film called The BATF Fails the Test. And it shows a government agent trying to take a malfunctioning semi-automatic firearm and claim it's a machine gun. He fails miserably. We expose the big lie. We expose the treachery. And so Len Savage suffered at the hands of the BATF. And they continue to harass him, but he continued to eke out a living. Another fellow, a more recent case, just out about a month ago, is in Dillon, Montana, a company called KT Ordnance. I find this to be particularly interesting because this was a man who was not making firearms at all. He was making what they call an 80% finished frame, where it's not possible to do anything with this chunk of metal unless somebody takes it into a machine shop and finishes it. In its present state, it can't hold a barrel or a stock or a trigger or a hammer or a bolt or anything. Anyway, the government goons said, well, this is you're manufacturing firearms illegally, and they raided the poor guy. While they were there, he had copies of our documentary film, Innocence Betrayed. They had copies of another film we have called Nazi Death Camps, which is a film that was General Eisenhower asked 20th Century Fox to make so it could be used at the Nuremberg trials. And some of our posters, and the FBI and the ATF said to him that Innocence Betrayed was subversive material. You got to remember, Innocence Betrayed is the document that shows people the connection between gun registration, confiscation, government gone bad, people being targeted, and then finally murdered by their own governments. The FBI considered that to be subversive material.
But wasn't this made by our own government?
Yes. Well, no, they really were unhappy with Innocence Betrayed, the documentary that JPFO made.
All right.
Because that really spelled it out for you. The Nazi Death Camp film that we have simply shows the footage of what Eisenhower saw when he went to the camps, but it doesn't deal with the gun control issue.
All right.
It just shows the after effect.
But, I mean, why would they send 40 people to raid a shop where one person was? Obviously, this is government intimidation. This is an effort to intimidate and frighten people to death.
Well, government works on fear. And again, that raises the point that I've been making. If you fear the government more than you do the Almighty, you're already a slave.
Well, I think that, of course, we need to popularize this thing. We need to get people to understand, well, our boys
Absolutely.
Are going overseas to fight and die in Iraq and Afghanistan for freedom. We're losing our freedom here at home.
I don't know if they're over there fighting for freedom as much as...
Well, I wouldn't disagree with it.
I
would say that this is the perception the American people have. American people believe they're over there fighting, as the president said, you know, far better to be fighting the terrorists in the streets of Baghdad than the streets of New York. Now, I think he's not telling the truth, but be that as it may, you know, certainly most people have the perception we're fighting for freedom. That's, of course, don't we always fight for freedom? Well, we fought for freedom in Vietnam. We lost freedom at home. We're fighting for freedom over in Iraq. We're losing our freedom here at home. We only have to study what happened during Vietnam's return and the weeping widows and wives. Why we were losing our freedom at home. They knew exactly what they were doing, and they're doing it again. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty with Aaron Zellman of Jews for Preservation of Firearms Ownership, or the JPFO. That's jpfo.org, and you'll certainly want to go to their website and get Aaron's material. It's straightforward, and you have to understand, you know, that there is an organized effort to disarm the American people and to take away our freedom. What sort of response are you getting? Do you think that the more people are becoming aware of the problem today?
Well, that's kind of a curious situation. We have a theory here at JPFO. It's called worse is better.
I know exactly what you mean. I agree with you.
You know, the more doors that get beaten down, the more people who get you know, prodded by the government bulls and stomped on by government criminals, the more people are willing to listen. So unfortunately, I guess that's what it's going to take with a lot of people, is to have their teeth knocked out of their mouth, for them to finally wake up and say, something's wrong. Hopefully it won't be too late. But it seems, that seems to be the American way, that we let things slide. We don't pay much attention to it until as a sleeping giant awakens, then we finally decide to react. Although in the past, we've always awakened and been able to react. We were heavily armed. People were well armed. The country was well armed. We weren't wasting our young men in battles and wars that seem to be never ending and a dubious value. So, by the way, there's one more point I wanted to touch on. You talk about the Vietnam and losing our freedom. Think about the Korean War. That was United Nations action, supposedly fighting for freedom. But you talk about, all that did was strengthen the United Nations within the United States.
You're absolutely
talk about
right.
talk about losing freedom. We were able to let a cancer get a hold and then spread.
And it's a war we never tried to win any more than we've really tried to win the Vietnam War, yeah, any more than they were really trying to win the war in Iraq. And they've never sent enough troops in. We're trying to build up the Iraqi army, but we're not giving them any equipment. Are we giving them the, you know, the reinforced, you know, the Humvees, these special vehicles, you know, that will, you know, they survive the roadside bombs? No. We're not giving them the equipment that they need to do the job. We're intentionally not giving them the equipment or the arms or the food. And a recent article in the Wall Street Journal said, you know, there are two camps, one for the Americans, one for the Iraqi military, and a lot of the food we're giving to them actually is so bad it's making them sick. And how are we going to build up an Iraqi army? We don't intend to. If we had an Iraqi army that could fight the battle, how could we justify keeping the Americans there? We'll be right back with Aaron Zimmel. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest today is tonight is Aaron Zimmel. And actually, I've seen several of the videos that you put out, one that you put out on the history of arms confiscation throughout the world and what had happened in Armenia and, you know, and Rwanda and other countries. What's the title of that? Would you want to tell our listeners a little bit about the various things that you have that they can get from you?
The video you're talking about is called Innocence Betrayed. It's an award-winning documentary film. It's broadcast quality, professionally produced, and it's available. And people have been using it very effectively in showing the documentary Innocence Betrayed to people who do believe in gun control, who do believe in registration, and it's changing their mind. It's been that powerful. It's been that successful. So obviously the FBI would look upon that as being subversive. We have a video that we did just about a year ago called Bill of Rights or Bust. It's designed to help people understand the Bill of Rights. It's also been winning awards. I think that, and of course we're working on another video to help people understand the criminality of the BATF. There's information on our website about it. It's called The Gang. We have books, we have pamphlets. Probably one of the most useful books we have is called Death by Gun Control. It's the documented proof of the history of registration, confiscation, and then extermination. And we have another book that people find useful called Dial 911 and Die. It's written by an attorney, and it helps people understand in whatever state they live in, we have the law explained to them that they have no right to police protection. And this book's been very useful because you show up to people and say, oh, I don't need a gun, or you don't need a gun. I'll just call 911. Well, you can call 911, but the police cannot make you undead by the time they get there. And this little booklet helps people understand the reality that they have no right. There's no legal right to police protection. The sovereign immunity, the police don't have to show up. If they do show up and they're late, you can sue, but you won't win. And so people need to understand. That little book is very helpful to people understanding the situation where they should be armed.
And, of course, you know, the thing is, there's more and more violence. I think that more and more people are going to realize they're going to have to be able to look after themselves, because I really, as I see what's happening in that country, I can see that progressively we're going to have more and more chaos and violence. I know even in the little town where I live, I mean, you know, just a couple of nights ago, I mean, somebody's shooting up on Westcliff Drive, you know, 9 or 10 shots, and somebody's setting fire to a van with a woman sleeping in it. No reason at all. We've never had violence like we're having now, and certainly just across 20 miles down the road in Watsonville. You know, a lot of violence, and then, of course, 20, 30 miles from there in Salinas, tremendous amount of violence. I mean, California is changing the country. You know, the state I lived in is no longer the state that I was in 20 years ago.
So, you could say that the country we live in now is no longer the America that we're raised in.
Absolutely. And it's not happening by accident. It's happening, I believe, by intent. And yet, of course, we know that people are going to have to be able to defend themselves. And they put in all these laws aimed specifically at disarming the people. Now, how are we doing with the carry laws? Are the right to carry a concealed weapon, are we making progress across America?
Well, from a JPFO perspective, we consider these laws to be immoral. Let me explain. If you believe, as I do, that you have a God-given right to defend your life, then why would you want to give up that God-given right for a revocable state-granted privilege that you also have to pay for and be fingerprinted and registered and photographed, and then a state will tell you when and where you can defend your life? So I know a lot of people think the right to carry laws are just a terrific thing, and I say that it's a Trojan horse. But that's our position.
All right.
I think there's only, I know Wisconsin's one of the states, I think there's another state, it could be Illinois, where they don't have a right to carry law system. But that doesn't mean they don't hesitate to register people when you buy a gun in a store. So, I think it's interesting that people, I think it's good that people can defend themselves, but I think it's bad that you have to give up your freedom and your privacy. Well, you have to give up your privacy for sure to be able to defend yourself using a gun. To be able to defend yourself when theoretically you're born with a God-given right to do it. So why do you have to pay the state?
Well, I think it's so interesting in what's for instance, Law and Order and all these various programs. And, of course, the detectives there, you identify with there, they're always to get the bad guys. But they've got all these records on which gun it is and, the serial number on that gun and, who owns the gun. And of course, that helps them. But think how easy that would be then, of course, for the government to come around and just confiscate all the weapons. And who's, does anybody think that they're going to confiscate them from the bad guys? Are they going to take them away from the thugs who work for the government?
You took the words out of my mouth. The government's not going to take guns away from themselves. Therefore, the bad guys will always have guns.
Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And I think that most police officers are good people, and I think that most of the people who work, for our government are good people. It's just it seems that the wicked and evil people always get to the top. And the trouble is that the police do what they're told to do. And if they don't do it, they're out of a job. And, in fact, I was talking to a gentleman the other day who was telling me he had interviewed a young man who was at Columbine High School. And, of course, he was badly shot, badly wounded. And the police were told not to go in. This one police officer went in, saved this young man's life, got him out, got him to the hospital, and, of course, saved his life. And what happened? Police officer was fired. He wasn't a hero. He was fired because he did what was right and moral. And that's really what's so frightening today. Is that, if you are working for government and you try to do what's right, and, of course, you violate the law, they'll come after you.
Well, this raises a fascinating question, I suppose. When you and I were growing up, we had peace officers. The police were known as peace officers. Somewhere along the line, that got switched to being law enforcement officers. And those individuals will enforce the law without asking any questions. And so we have a situation we're faced with now where we're no longer peace officers. We've got these law enforcement folks, and they're more concerned about preserving their pension than they are about the Constitution.
And I think that probably the one requirement for every police officer should be a required course in the Constitution. Would you agree?
Well, not only that, but I think they have to be able to, they should be, have to prove that they actually know how the Bill of Rights works, and they know how to respect the Bill of Rights. It's one thing just to read it, but I think it's more important to prove that you understand it and that you respect the Bill of Rights.
Amen to that. I agree with you totally. Well, let's take a, you feel up to take a couple of questions?
Sure.
All right, let's go to G.
Don't forget, can we just tell, I understand, you know, I learned the other day about 56% of the people in the freedom movement are online. That means 44% are not online. So if you don't mind, I'd like to give out a phone number.
You go ahead. You've got it out a couple of times. Go ahead.
You can reach us at 262-673-9745. That's 262-673-9745. We have a toll-free order line. It's 800-869-1884.
And I think
now let's go. We'll go take some questions.
All right, we got Jeannie on the line. Hi, Jeannie. How are you doing?
Well, I'm fine. It's good to hear Aaron this evening. What really disturbed me lately is talking and hearing about what's happening in Britain. And the farmers could not protect their livestock when the government said they were coming in to kill their cattle. And this has been going on for 3 or 4 years, where millions of cattle, sheep, goats, pigs have been killed, saying they have foot and mouth disease. But that's really like a cold, and they get over it in 2 weeks. But the government came in 2 days and killed all the cattle. And the guns have been taken away from the farmers and the people of the UK, of Britain. And I was just reading in the UPI press release, July 3rd. And what the United States government now is doing is using the geographic information systems to locate areas where they're going to bury a large number of livestock. And so I believe they're going to be killing our cattle like in Great Britain. And we still have the guns. The people in the UK do not have guns anymore. And I'm just wondering what Aaron thinks about this, because this is very disturbing, because they are going to kill our food supply.
All right, Aaron, do you want to comment on what Jeannie's saying?
Yeah, she's dealing with an issue I'm not terribly familiar with, other than just sort of on the outside looking in. But in the next couple of years, there's some form of identification system coming about for every critter. And I think this is the way, first of all, to get small farmers out of the farming business. But secondly, she's right. They want to know where the, not only do they want to know where the guns are, they want to know where the food is.
And of course, then the next thing they want to know is they want to have not only a chip in every animal, in every goat, and every
exactly.
goose, and every chicken.
Yeah,
they want to have a chip in every human being. But Jeannie, the thing is that, before we can actually, if people start using weapons today, why, they'll simply be gunned down. We have to educate the American people until the vast majority of the American people value freedom and are willing to take a stand for it. We need the people to understand the dangers of what's going on. We need them to understand the importance of the Second Amendment. Until that happens, any effort to oppose the government is simply an act of futility and suicide.
Well, what they're doing is registering the guns, registering the animals. You have to register the place where the animals are. They're registering our wells. They're registering our water. And they will know where everything is. And then the state, the police force will come in. So I appreciate you being on this evening, Aaron.
My pleasure.
Thanks very much, Jeannie.
Stan, can I make a suggestion?
Sure, go right ahead.
You know, you touched upon something that's really crucial. Anybody who wants to go nose-to-nose with the government right now will be slaughtered. Make no mistake about that. What has to be done, I think, is cut off the money supply to the government. So it can't fund the nefarious activities that it has in mind. Now, we're not going to get too many Americans to do what the Latinos did, go march in the streets and show forth.
We're too busy to do that. You know, the Latinos aren't too busy, but we're too busy because we got important things to do, like watching television.
Well, all right. Then I have a suggestion. I'd like you to give some serious thought to it. why don't we reach out to people's apathy and give them and tell them something they can do that can help change this country for the better? And what they can do is do nothing. And let me explain. You know, if you look around the countries where governments have fallen because of national strikes, people, of course, went into the streets. People stopped all the production, though, within the country. And so the money dried up. The government fell. It would be very simple for people throughout America, especially on Bill of Rights Day, 10 days before Christmas, when it's crucial that money be spent for the economy, that they simply sit home for a couple of days. You know, right now people could, plan ahead and take vacation days, make sure they have enough sick days they can call in. But if millions of Americans sat it out for a couple of days, the cash flow would start to dry up. And once we did it the first time, there'd be more people would be encouraged to do it a second time, a third time, until finally we brought back a Bill of Rights culture.
You know, of course, I think it was Will Rogers who said that no man's life or property is safe when the legislature's in session. And I really believe that's absolutely right. Well, let's go to Darlene, who's calling us from New Jersey. Hi, Darlene. How are you doing?
Yeah, hi. When you talked about restrictive states, I don't know if there's any state more restrictive than New Jersey, because I mean, you can't even get a long gun here without them wanting to register it.
Well, that's very true. It isn't just New Jersey. You try to do something in New York City. I'm sure you're aware of that.
Yeah.
You might obtain a firearm there.
Yeah.
But again, this all goes back to the government wants to control your life.
And they want to control you, and they really want to disarm the American people. There's no justification for restricting the right of the people to keep and bear arms for law-abiding citizens. But of course, what's that old saying? You know, when guns are outlawed, only the outlaws will have guns.
Well, we're rapidly approaching that day.
You sure are. Anything else you want to say, Darlene?
Yeah, I mean, what do you do until you can move out of a state like this?
Well, you move out of a state like that and try to get to state. There's nothing you can do, you know, other than try to educate people. Educate, get them to listen to our programs, get them to Aaron's website. JPFO's got a lot of great information. It's all up there on the Internet if we can just get people to become involved.
Yeah, I get his material.
I know you do.
Okay.
God bless you. But don't despair. Look, a lot of people call and they say, you know, nobody wants to hear. Our job is not to make them believe. Our job is to tell them the truth. Because believe me, what you tell them will be indelibly recorded in their minds. And one day, sooner or later, you know, with a bang or a whimper, it's going to happen. They're going to realize you were right. Your job is to tell them.
Okay.
It's up to God to get them to listen, okay?
All right, thank you.
Keep up the good work. Bye-bye, okay. Darlene. And, of course, our telephone number, once again, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And we probably have time for one more call for Aaron. And it's so vitally important that we network back and forth. People always say, oh, we got to have a big organization. No, the last thing we want is a big organization. Because I will promise you, if you have a big organization of all the conservative groups together, it'll be taken over within a year and totally neutralized. But our strength is a decentralization. Have you ever thought of that, Aaron?
I think you're absolutely right. You know, many years ago, there was the militia movement, as it was called. And I thought, well, this is simply an invitation to be for the government to put someone in there and infiltrate. And the expression came about, a militia of one. And you're right. Now, those people by themselves need to be able to spread information. But I think getting involved in politically active groups or the government, where it's easy for them to infiltrate, may be a bad idea.
Oh, I think the FBI really financed most of that militia movement. I have somewhere in my files a statement by the head of the Tri-County Militia, a Tri-State Militia, who it turned out was an FBI informant. And he said, well, but I couldn't have possibly, you know, financed the Tri-State Militia movement without the money I was getting from the FBI. And, ladies and gentlemen, if you think for 1 minute they haven't infiltrated every conservative organization and every liberal organization and the Muslim extremist organizations and the Communist Party and the Mafia, you're incredibly naive. In fact, I was even at one time asked to become an informant. I did not take their position, but believe me, I've talked to many people who did. Some of them have even been assassins actually hired by our government to kill people or asked by our government to kill people. Could that happen in America? I've talked to at least three assassins, and of course a number of people who've been on my program have died under very mysterious circumstances. But we keep going. Our guest this evening is Aaron Zellman, and we're going to be back in just a moment to sort of wrap up this evening's program about jpfo.org. Go there, get his information, learn what's happening. Well, Aaron, we've got 3 minutes for you to wrap up the program.
Oh, all right. I thought maybe that'd be your job.
No. I will do that after you go. I'm going to let you be on here until, actually, until
right.
You've got 2.5 minutes now. So
would you like
to leave with our listeners?
I think what I'd like to leave with listeners is the following. You know, we've got to reach out to as many people as we can in this country and help them understand what a Bill of Rights culture is. People have to understand the freedoms that they are losing. If we don't accomplish that, we're not going to accomplish very much at all. I think that people really need to get more involved in celebrating the Bill of Rights, promoting Bill of Rights Day, which again is December 15th. We have an entire program on our website that's free to download. You don't have to buy anything to learn more about the Bill of Rights and how to promote it. That's step number one. Two, I think people need to understand the lethality of the connection between the registration of firearms, confiscation of firearms, all their power being in the hands of the government so that they can target a group of people they don't like and then murder them. And this has been the history of the world. You know, in our film Innocence Betrayed, we show the 8 major genocides. Now, this has happened. It's not just the Nazi stuff in Germany. This has been going on all over the world. And as I say, all these folks go to the same dictator school. They all learn the same technique on how to enslave people and how to murder them. So we really have to get this information out to people. I would encourage people also to, you know, make an effort to reach out to those in your family, those you work with, your neighbors, and ask them, what do they know about the Bill of Rights? What do they know about the history of gun registration and confiscation? Do they realize that when they call 911, they have no right to police protection? I think we need to rattle people's cage, if I can put it that way, on these three issues. There are many more issues, but if we can at least work on those three, we're a long way, we're closer to being free.
I agree with you totally, Aaron. I want you to know I appreciate what you're doing. I hope we can get you on some of our other programs. As you know, we actually do 5 hours a day, 3 different audiences, and then we have our weekend audience as well. So 4 different audiences we're reaching, and at least the people who listen to our program are becoming increasingly aware of what's going on, and they're all different facets of it. But when you're working in, trying to allow the people to continue to keep and bear arms to support the Second Amendment is so vitally important to the preservation of freedom. Thank you so very much for being with us tonight.
My pleasure.
Good night. God bless.
Take care. You too.
Bye-bye. Man, of course, we're not going to get to Bill this evening. I appreciate his calling, though. Well, Bill, I'm terribly sorry we're not going to get your call. Do you have something you want to say quickly before we let you go?
Me or on the air?
No, you're on the air right now. So
okay, I just wanted to thank Mr. Zellman for his good work and wondered if I could talk to you a little bit off the air.
You can always talk to me off the air, Bill. Give me a call in the morning.
Well, I was going to say, I'll be up for about another 15.
Well, why don't you call me just as soon as the program is over? I'll be glad to talk to you.
Okay,
fine. But right now, of course, we're going to have to take this opportunity to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we're really dependent upon those of you who listen to our programs to help us as we reach out across America, trying to make people understand what's going on. There is a move towards dictatorship, and as difficult that is for people to believe it really is true. If you've not, of course, read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. And you need to, you can even buy it by the case, you know. But you need to get the book. You need to help us get the information out. You need to get other people to read the book. Of course, we have it in video. We have DVDs of my talk on Brotherhood of Darkness. But it's a good overview, not only of what's happening geopolitically, but what is happening spiritually. And the fact that an understanding of the forces that have shaped the events of the last century is predicated not upon facts to be learned, but rather on secrets to be discovered, because there really are secrets, and there are secret organizations out there, whether it be the Bohemian Grove, or whether it be the Skull and Bone Society. If you haven't seen our four-tape set on the Bohemian Grove, or our four-tape set on Skull and Bones, or the books we carry on Skull and Bones, understand that these really are secret or semi-secret organizations. And, of course, they all have their origin in the occult. And then, of course, we do hope that many of you will want to get some of the other material we have, our four pamphlets, our three pamphlets set on the occult hierarchy that rules the world, just a compilation of my newsletters on the occult hierarchy. We hope that you'll get our material on the supernatural, of the four-tape set on the supernatural. You'll never forget my interviews with Johanna Michelson. We carry her book, The Beautiful Side of Evil, the story of a medium who has this unique experience of being trained by a woman who does psychic surgery and actually can cure all these terrible diseases that have been simply given up by professional medicine, by regular medicine. And Johanna is just so taken with this, it has to be good because it's helping so many people, until she realizes that it is all demonic. And she is in contact with another dimension. And that, of course, the book is The Beautiful Side of Evil. Four-tape set is The Supernatural. We have so many four-tape sets. Go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. If you'd like to get a free copy of our latest newsletter, now our latest newsletter simply goes into the background of the immigration crisis. That's the main newsletter. But it also explains to you why we have an immigration crisis, who is really behind this, and the importance of the symbol, the logo of the Trilateral Commission. If you don't know what it is, you'll certainly want to read our main newsletter. We make sure that that gets posted up on our internet site. That's our main newsletter, but even more than that, of course, we want you to read that newsletter. We hope many of you will get our main newsletter, read it on the internet. If you don't, of course, you should subscribe to our newsletter. We hope that you'll want to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because, quite frankly, we do need your help to continue keeping together the network that we have, almost 60 outlets, where every week, sometimes half an hour a week, sometimes every day, we're reaching out to people across America with information they're not going to hear elsewhere, the news behind the news, the story behind the story. And we need your help in this spiritual battle for the survival of Western civilization and the souls of men. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our website is RadioLiberty.com, where you can hear us on the internet 5 hours a day, directly or indirectly. You can hear us on shortwave on Telstar 5. Please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision, and for our protection. And so, until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.